The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
So underrated. Radio
X. Thank you very much for downloading the Evening Show podcast with me, Gordon Smart, and for this week and this week alone. And next week, producer Joe.
I was going to say, yeah, I'm here for 2 weeks, yeah.
Ah, Joe, it's a treat. I love having you in here because you're a really chipper man. You lift me up. You raise me up.
Stop that.
Yes, I won't do that ever again. We had a busy week, though. Monday, classic album, R.E.M. Out of Time, 1991, their seventh album. And it was a political one.
A political one.
It was a big album, wasn't it? Great album as well. What a response we got to that on Monday. So we'll be playing you that back. And another album that got a massive response this week, Park Life from Blur, 25 years old.
Mainly the response that it got was people reduced to tears at the idea that that's actually a quarter of a century ago that
it's
came
upsetting,
out.
Isn't it? You will hear from the clips in the podcast from Alex James explaining that he was so skint when that came out he couldn't even afford his bus fare home.
Yes, and from Damon Albarn from many moons ago on a station not dissimilar to this one, with an interviewer not dissimilar to the one that stands here today.
It's about 7 years old, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We went way back to a long, long chat we had with Damon Albarn when they released a beautiful box set to commemorate an amazing, amazing career. So enjoy the Evening Show podcast. If you do enjoy it, leave us a little review and tell all your friends.
Radio X. Gordon Smart. Radio X.
Right, this is the Evening Show. Gordon Smart. Tonight is all about nostalgia. Tracy Jackson in the background there. It's from Park Life, which is 25 years old today. If you're of a similar vintage to me, that will be both good news and rather upsetting at the same time. What an amazing, amazing album it was. Define an era. Britpop started with this and something pretty special from Oasis, but tonight it's about Blur. So we're celebrating the 25th anniversary, but I want to take you back 7 years tonight, right, to 2012. It was an incredible summer for Blur. They played at Hyde Park and they released this incredible box set of all of their rarities, B-sides, stuff that didn't quite make the grade, early demos on a box set called 13. So I had a big chat with Damon. He popped in, we had a proper blether, and he really did peel back the layers of Blur. So here he is, Damon Albarn, back in 2012, 7 years ago, telling me the definitive history of Blur. And by the way, he doesn't do this very often, so it's a real treat to hear it in his words.
Graham and I went to school together. Yeah. So we started playing from the age of 12 together, and we were given we had this porta cabin outside the music block of our school, and we were given the keys to it at lunchtime because neither of us were particularly interested in playing sport. And also we weren't very good at it, so and we just liked playing, and they had a drum kit in there, and the school had one synthesizer, and Graham used to bring his saxophone in, and they had an old piano. And that's really where we started Blur, was the two of us. And then we had our mate, Paul Stevens, who had a Fender Stratocaster anniversary edition. So he had something really special.
Yeah.
And he used to bring it in. And, you know, that's where we started. And our first gig was at a school assembly at 9 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. And we were called Real Lives.
Yeah.
Then I went to London. Graham was at art school in Colchester for another year. Our paths kind of diverged, and then he came up to Goldsmiths, and in that interim time I'd got a job as a tea boy in a studio called The Beat Factory in Euston, and I'd been just carrying on doing demos, and you know, I was sort of not really getting anywhere but still doing it. You know, he came up to London, so we started hanging out again, and then he said that he knew this guy, Alex, who was interested in playing the bass, and he knew Dave from his Colchester
art degree.
Dave was actually working for Colchester County Council at the time as a computer programmer. He was kind of slightly older than us and had a job, and you know, but was still wearing pajama bottoms and DMs and had a huge great Mohican go to work. So he wasn't, he hadn't kind of settled down necessarily.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was up for it, and he had a car.
Which
and
is a key part of starting
a band.
And
he had a car.
Yeah, yeah.
So we started rehearsing very quickly. We became Seymour. We gave ourselves a name, and then we were lucky, you know, and it's a great place to start around an art school, because we had people from Graham's course and Alex's course at Goldsmiths coming to see us. So we had a really, you know, a cool sort of little clique of people that included Damien Hirst, for example. Lots of other people, but this sort of is the one most people will have heard of.
That was Damon Albarn speaking to me in 2012, 7 years ago, and we are celebrating tonight the 25th anniversary of Park Life coming out. What an amazing anniversary that is. Now, the song we're about to play, there's a great story behind it. Alex James bought Damon Albarn a handkerchief with the shipping forecast regions on it. That gave him the lyrics for this song. When they were on tour and homesick, they'd listen to the shipping forecast. This is a low blur.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
If a band can make a song so beautiful out of the shipping forecast, they were always going to do well, weren't they? Blur, this is a low, absolutely outstanding on the Evening Show. We are celebrating Park Life's 25th anniversary today. We're getting loads of messages about it as well, so thank you very much. Keep them coming, 8396 and at Radio X. Hello, Gordon. I was just 10 years old in 1994, but I remember it being the year I really discovered music. Park Life was a huge influence. I love Blur so much, I used to steal my sister's Kangol hat. Nice one, Lee. Thank you very much for that one. Stealing your elder siblings' clothes. It was a big part of the 90s, that, wasn't it? Justin's been in touch as well. 4th of June 94, Wendy and I got married. What a music year to get married in. And you're helping me select the music to get our celebration party started. Nice one, Justin. Have a great night like it was 1994. Probably some snakebite involved. Loads more of this Blur nostalgia to come up tonight, including Alex James, his memories of 1994, and loads of other brilliant stuff in between. Do not go anywhere.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X. Right, this one could turn into a little bit of a history lesson, so if you are younger than me, brace yourselves. R.E.M. Out of Time, the seventh studio album from that mighty fine band, and it was released on the 12th of March 1991. That's a long time ago. So this was a definitive album in the band's history. Before Out of Time, they'd enjoyed cult success in the late 80s. Then Losing My Religion happened, and they were thrust properly onto the world stage. The album achieved number one spot in America, Britain, France, Germany, Italy, the Netherlands, everywhere, pretty much. It was massive. Critically speaking as well, the album pulled in 3 Grammys and it won R.E.M. the Best International Group Award at the Brits in 1992. Now, one of the most interesting things about this album was its political significance. It was so important. In the late 80s, record stores started stocking CDs, so this is the history lesson for you. There was a massive debate about how packaging happened, how they were displayed in record stores. I remember it very, very well. Now, in order that they fitted on the same shelves as 12-inch records, there had become a fashion for what was called the long box CD sleeve. So if you are younger than me, if you were born in the 90s, this will mean nothing to you. So it was about the same height as a 12-inch record, but it was half the width, which meant you could get 2 CDs into it, it would fit on the shelves, and they didn't have to redesign the shops. That was the reason behind it. Anyway, Michael Stipe, as an environmentalist, wasn't very happy about it. So, he had a cunning plan. He decided to support the long box for the album on the condition that it would include a petition for the Rock the Vote campaign. Very, very clever stuff. So it was a drive to make voter registration in America much easier for young people. And it got them politically involved, it got them politically active, and also sorted out some of the trouble in the late 1980s with political apathy in America. Now, here's the clever part, right? The plan really worked. Within 3 weeks of the album's release, Rock the Vote got an extra 10,000 petitions. That was massive. So in 95, Bill Clinton then passed the bill off the back of that. They made it much easier for voters to register so you could vote from Department of Motor Vehicles, things like that, while you were applying for your driver's licence. R.E.M. played a part in that, which cannot be overlooked. So, Out of Time has definitely been praised as one of the most politically relevant albums in American history. What a claim to fame, and something that Michael Stipe and the rest of the band should be very, very proud of. Get in touch with me and give me your memories of this album. I remember it because I was leaving primary school and starting high school, and that's a time in your life where you have to start taking an interest in music, because otherwise you're going to get picked on. I remember this album very well. Let me know your thoughts, 83936, and at Radio X, we are talking about Out of Time by R.E.M., of course, from 1991. 2 treats for you. Losing My Religion in just a second, but right now, how about this for us? Something optimistic that stands true now as it did back then. Shiny, happy people.
The Evening Show, classic album of the week.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Thank you.
The Evening Show, Classic Album of the Week. X.
Gordon Smart with a classic album for you tonight. 12th of March 1991, R.E.M.'s Out of Time. You heard Losing My Religion there, one of R.E.M.'s most recognisable tracks, isn't it? Stayed in the Billboard chart for 21 weeks, and the story goes Michael Stipe did the vocals for that in one take. Of course he did. Shiny Happy People I played for you before that, second single from the album, and it featured guest vocals from Kate Pearson from the B-52s, of course. That was the song that was used as the theme tune in the pilot episode of Friends. There you go, pub quiz question for you. Rembrandt took their thunder, though, didn't they? Stole the thunder. Now, the song you can hear in the background, recognise that? That is Near Wild Heaven. And that was the third single off the album and the first single the band released with lead vocals sung by their bassist, Mike Mills. Another little interesting fact for you, Peter Buck apparently owned 7 iPods completely full of music. Just imagine how much music was that was back in. They always remember that about him. Lovely memories from people getting in touch tonight. Bob's been in touch. He says, my dad was a big R.E.M. fan when I was younger. The music will be forever fused into my soul, along with memories of bombing down the A1 in my dad's Ford Sierra. Nice one, Bob. Thanks for that memory. Just imagine that, can you? In the Ford Sierra. And Ben on Twitter says, my first memory of this album was listening to it in my granddad's garden in the summer when I was about 7 years old. First introduced me to R.E.M. and I've loved them ever since. Nice one, Ben. Thank you very much for that message. Brilliant. Right, I'll have another classic album for you on Monday night. Please come and join me for that.
Radio X. Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
That is, of course, Bad Head by Blur from Park Life. 25 years young today, the quarter century, a proper milestone, that, isn't it? But still, an absolutely brilliant album. We're celebrating that tonight because it's probably played a part in a lot of your lives if you're listening in this evening. So, this song, Bad Head, do you know what it's about? Hangovers and losing touch with a loved one. I think that's the sensible 8 o'clock response to that song. Anyway, I'm going to give you two little clips. One from Alex James and one from Damon Albarn. Alex James, first of all, though reflecting on change in the music industry over the last 25 years. And just listen out for his financial predicament in 1994.
I think actually, like the big acts these days, like most of them, it's kind of singer-songwriters playing with musicians, playing with backing musicians. There's something about like a kicking it rock band who've played together for years and years. Yeah. And I suppose that's one of the downsides of the current state of the music industry. The bands don't really have time to develop.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It was 6 years, wasn't it, from Seymour to Blur, really? Wasn't it Park Life?
Yeah, I mean, tonight we won 4 Brit Awards for Park Life. I had to go to the studio next day and I didn't have enough money for the tube in my pocket.
Really?
We're still skint. Yeah. It's like Jeff Hurst mowing his lawn the day after he won the World Cup. Yeah. Can you imagine Adele having to get the get the tube to the studio?
That's incredible.
The next day. You know, I guess things have changed, actually. Yeah.
Just in that moment of sympathy for Alex James, they did all right after that, didn't they? On his farm in the countryside. He's a lovely bloke, Alex. Bass player in Blur, of course, and the man who provided the bass lines for that amazing album, Park Life. Damon Albarn popped in to see me 7 years ago, 2012, in an amazing summer for Blur. They played Hyde Park that summer, if you remember, during the Olympics, beautiful weather, bammy times. It was really special, and we had a proper conversation. And it's quite important to get his recollections of the 90s, because, let's be honest, I'm not entirely convinced that they all have the same memories, if any at all. So here's Damon Albarn in 2012 telling us about his recollections of Park Life. And what are your recollections?
Well, it's where that moment that you sort of, I and Graham and Alex and Dave dreamt of, having grown up with Top of the Pops, we in a way went a bit mad, because we didn't give ourselves any break between Park Life and The Great Escape. And I remember when the Brits, which was another sort of gear change, you know, and then the whole thing with Oasis emerged after that, because people forget that before that day, we were all mates, you know. And then this kind of sort of bizarre sort of monster emerged from out of the Brits that sort of the tabloid really picked up on and turned into this imaginary sort of divide between the north and the south of England and all of that rubbish that went on.
I made life interesting, though, didn't it, Damon? Damon Albarn there talking about Park Life and when the battle for Britpop kind of happened. Right, turn it up really loud if you're in the car on the way home. If your children are listening, play this to them at top volume and explain how important it is.